listen. I don't have to tell you what time it is because it's irrelevant. Oh, my goodness. You're listening to BBSRadio.com and the boss is in rare form tonight. What possibly could I talk about? It's November. It's 2 days after the deed. Oh, my goodness. What deed is that? Well, all of you out there that are surfing that net, how many of you remember November 22nd? I know y'all had your turkey day. I know you all had a great day. I know that some of you didn't have turkey and had a better day. But anyhow, we won't get into the politics of eating meat and alcohol and eating sugar and all that. And I hope that all of you out there who are experiencing flu-like symptoms will know exactly where you got it from. Could be dangerous food combinations. And this is the boss. And this is Mission Possible. That's right. And I'm sparing no punches. Oh, no, I get in rare form around this time. I can't help it. November 22nd, November 18th, November 28th. And then you get right into December 8th, John Lennon. What am I talking about? I'm talking about JFK. I'm talking about Jonestown. I'm talking about all these murders, suicide, massacres, and they just come up even on Thursday right there in Maryland. You got to really understand, folks, there's something going on. People are taking care of business. Unity Park. Oh, my goodness. Our park, Unity, 3 children gone forever, a mother gone forever, a father gone forever. In the news, they're starting to talk about Tamiflu. Oh, my goodness. Flu shots that may cause psychotic reactions. What's going on? But I'm sorry, you can't shoot the messenger this time because the messenger done told you beforehand that this is it. And this is Mission Possible, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. For those of you who don't know, I am the boss, the unofficial boss of the universe, so you don't have to be. And I have to report that gold is at an all-time high now. It's $825.90 as the ticker ticks. And silver, which for any person that is looking for a way out, and you think there's no way out, oh, please, instead of an Oscar Mayer wiener, why don't you get yourself some Swiss francs? Instead of Swiss Miss Coco, go get yourself some Swiss francs. You see, the world is sleeping. Can I give you some reality, a little bit of reality, and I'm going to give you a little historical reality, because you know I'm a historian. You know I work with Dr. Len Horowitz. We have a show, Inside Hour, every Tuesday, same time, same bat channel, right here on BBSRadio.com. Am I beginning to feel confident? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because soon you will all know, and when you know, you will all have to make a decision. Now, I done told you time and time again, you're up on the carpet, and I'm telling you the time of decision. What is it? That's the time when you got a 50-50 chance of getting it right, and you got to move. That's what it's about, making that decision, so you better make it based upon good information. Now, what do you do when you find out that you've been deceived? Do you just turn over a new leaf and decide that the very people that are deceiving you are the ones that are going to bring you out of this darkness? Well, let me tell you who's leading you, a bunch of cranks. What is the boss's definition of a crank? That's one who has blurred vision. What is that? Because no matter how far down the line they look, it's all blurry. They can't see it. They can't call it correctly. They can't deliver. And that's what's happening right now. The dollar is 74.12, the index. Do you realize, folks, for years and decades, it never fell below 80. Now, even when it recovers, it's still at historic lows. Can I tell you any more what we're talking about here? Now everybody says, well, that's doom and gloom. Well, then we are in a pickle, folks, you see. You have to really understand. That's why some of you are starting to listen to Ron Paul. Some of you listening to Dennis Kucinich. You're not going with the mainstream candidates. You're looking for a nuclear vision type of individual, one who does not want to continue the insane plan, and that's what feels good. and say, these men are here to let the others. And see, this is how sinister it is, that even in having two good men running that you like a lot, you have to understand something. They're magnets. What are they magnets for? They're magnets for those who have not been put under mind control. Oh, yay, you see. And you have to understand that within those parties, just like everything else, there are people who are taking good notes and taking those notes and sending them back to the devoted parties, which is the Republican and Democratic Party. And this is how it works, folks. You got to really work out your intelligence when you start to join these political parties, whether it be the Republican or the Democrat Party, so you can vote for your candidate. Now, you see, it's not a wide, I don't know how it's going to be wide. They don't know how to practice freedom. They don't know how to practice an honest election. So I just keep looking for the deceiver. Just like Karl Rove was the big quarterback in the 2004 election, I imagine that these people will have some tire hacker kind of guy or girl or gal, or whatever you want to call them, they're hackers that will hack in and they will decide. This one, I do believe, is destined for us to be delivered over to the Democrats, you see. But they are so dirty, and the Republicans are so dirty, they're also naughty, that they just can't do their job. Why is it? Well, you do your homework, and you understand who these people really are that are sitting in Congress. That's why we can't get anything done. But like I said, historically, I am moved because of these economic unheralded. I mean, we are talking about water that no one has ever stepped their big toe into. Crude oil is $98.70 a barrel as we speak. The U.S. dollar is an all-time low. Dollars. OPEC. Everybody put this together. The day that OPEC doesn't want to just do its oil in dollars and wants to perhaps collect something other than the dollar for the oil, that's the day that we really see it shake, rock, and rattle and roll, folks. Because there's a new middle class on another part of the world. All of you better just wake up. Now, see, some people would say, oh, boss, you know, I know all this. You see, why are you talking about this? This is such old news. I mean, everybody knows the dollar's toast. Everybody knows that oil and gas is going up, and everybody knows that they can control the weather, and everybody knows. Everybody knows that you can't put out a fire with gasoline. That's what I know. Everybody knows that you can't carry water in a sieve. I know that. And I also know that you cannot take away an individual's wealth. And the way they are stealing your wealth, folks, is through inflation. When the real truth comes out, you all will find out that inflation is running somewhere near 17%. And that soon something has to give, because it always does. Let me give you a little, since I have an hour here. I was going to have a guest tonight. Her name was Linda Williams. She was a physicist who is the is a chanteuse of sorts, and she's going to be talking about the particles of love and about her research into all of this, which kind of coincides with Dr. Lynn, and I was going to try and get that in the case, but she come down with the flu, so I have to say boo-hoo, and we're going to have her on next week. For those of you who may want to look her up ahead of time so you can see the caliber of guests that I have. If you're not listening now but listening to the archives and can get in, you can go to www.scientainment. Oh, let me spell this. www, you know how to spell that, dot scientainment.com. Okay? She's a physics chanteuse. And I want to get her in on the conversation. I consider her to be one of the magnificent seven people that I have met when it comes to edutainment, which is with Dr. Lynn and a lot of other people. And I also want to let you know that I'm going to try and also get Wendy Moss on my show, because there's another person I think you need to go to, WendyMoss.com. These are the kind of people the boss be hanging out with and they're going to try and put together for some really nice happenings, you see. All over. That's what we need to do, is gather together. That's the power of BBSRadio.com. We can reach out and we can speak our minds and we can create spontaneous mass motions for happiness and for happenings, and happenings to be happy. Oh, isn't that wonderful? So, understand that I'm getting right now to, so that's why we're not going to have a guest, and I'm going to open up the lines in about, as soon as I finish this piece on history, I'm hoping that this may evoke some conversation. This is what my show is all about, because the mission is possible. And in the discoursing with you and getting what's on your mind or what you know, and putting it all together, we can begin to connect these dots. That's what's important, folks. That's why you are history. History is you. This is what I have always said, and all over the world. And that's what BBS Radio goes all over the world. The Mission Possible knows this. The boss knows this. That's why you find me here. Oh, opportunities are never missed. Other people get them. Aren't you so glad there's a BBSRadio.com? Look at that. Akashic Records. You can go in there and find out what's happening, and then you can tune into me, and I'll tell you what's happening all the time, giving you things that you can repeat and know that they will hold water, that this is the truth. Right now, I'm going to give you a little truth. You know, if you ever have an opportunity to read a book, I believe that all Americans should read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. On page 135, I've recited and I've also read, that's the word, read over the radio passages from The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, which is by William Shearer. And he was a journalist and a writer who lived in the Third Reich as a writer, and then published a book in 1960 about the war and how it all came about and how it happened. And he also used the records that were found. You know, they tried to destroy a lot of the records, the Germans did, but unfortunately for them, a lot survived, and out of that we got a good glimpse of what the meetings were like that they held and their strategies and a lot of the history, and because they were very proud and they expected to win, so all this would have been just every day, just like it is now, where people mind-controlled to the violence, to the war on terror, to the fighting the enemies that our CIA and Defense Department and other private corporations have created to disturb the peace that we long for. This is what's happening, and you can't really separate the corporation from the government anymore. They're just so happy in bed together that you might as well just say they're married. And so for me to say America, I say America. When I say America, I mean the people. When I say American, Americanism, corporatism, I mean the government. And so the government is what I am talking about, because irregardless of whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, the government is the government. The CIA is the CIA. 60 years. I can't be on this kick too long because the year's going to be over and it won't be 60 years anymore. So we kind of see these decades come and go. And you ask yourself, whoa, do we need a CIA? Do we need an advisor to the president, the next president whose office is next to the president? Are these things, are all these advisory committees and subcommittees, all of these necessary, you see? And I believe that we can streamline, and I believe in the 60 years of the reorganization of the government, I think with the whisk of somebody's strong pen somewhere in Congress, perhaps we can put something on the table, guys and gals, that would represent what the people need, a stand down on all this power that has been given to these maniacs. And I mean maniacs. I have this theory that they are all suffering from methyl brain, and this poison has seeped deep into their brain and has made them crazy. Well, there's so much that's getting ready to happen economically that has nothing to do with terror, except that it is a terror when you can't go to the ATM, when the banks close, when they're giving you all kinds of excuses as to why the stock market crashed and why you don't have no money no more. Oh, folks, what do you think that CNN gonna report? As if you can even see it on TV. This kind of blackout's going to lead us. And that's why the boss says the mission is possible. And don't be attached to anything that you have. Don't be attached to nothing. This is the lesson here. This is the lesson. Let go. Let go, free fall. This is what needs to happen. Y'all can feel it. I've been talking to so many people. It's Reverend Roxy. I have to talk to a lot of people all the time about how they're being, how they're doing, and watching people, knowing people for a long time. And I can only say this is I have met many people in my own sphere that are suffering from the subprime loan blues. Now, this thing is the, you know, living in $500,000 homes and paying $2,500 a month, and then boom, 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 it's now $4,000, $5,000, and they still, and now they can't afford it, and now they're going to get put out, and they still owe money. This is what's happening. You see, so now let me give you a little insight. Oh, that's Tuesday with Dr. Len Horowitz. That's right. And it's going to make a lot more sense when you understand why Reverend Roxy is hooked up with Dr. Leonard Horowitz on Tuesdays, because In Lies We Trust is probably one of the finest pieces of DVD work by a personal individual, not with an axe to grind, but with the truth to tell. And that's what's important, you see. Now, the road to power for Hitler. Check this out. They write that the Depression, which spread all over the world like a great conflagration, toward the end of 1929 gave Adolf Hitler his opportunity, and he made the most of it. Like most great revolutionaries, he could thrive only in evil times. At first, when the masses were unemployed, hungry, and desperate, and later, when they were intoxicated with war. Yet, in one respect, he was unique among history's revolutionaries. He intended to make his revolution after achieving political power. There was to be no revolution to gain control of the state. That goal was to be reached by mandate of the voters or by consent of the rulers of the nation. In short, by constitutional means. To get the votes, Hitler had only to take advantage of the times, which once more, as the 30s began, saw the German people plunged into despair. To obtain the support of those in power, he had to convince them that only he could rescue Germany from its disastrous predicament. In the turbulent years from 1930 to 1933, the shrewd and daring Nazi leader set out with renewed energy to obtain these twin objectives. In retrospect, it can be seen that the event themselves and the weaknesses and the confusion of a handful of men who were bound by their oath to loyalty to defend the Democratic Republic, which they governed, played into Hitler's hands. But this was by no means foreseeable at the beginning of 1930. There was a man, his name was Gustav Stresemann, and he died on October 3rd, 1929, and he was the foreign minister. And he worked real hard. As you know, Germans were defeated in the First World War, but they never really liked the way everything was divvied up, and they thought that it was embarrassing and very bad for them. And there were a lot of people in America, too, like Hoover and the Prescott Bushes and the Harrimans and all the rest of them, who also didn't like how Germany was being treated, because these people were the people that backed Germany in the First World War in the first place. You see what I'm saying? And so we didn't join, and America didn't join the League of Nations to the disappointment of Woodrow Wilson, but Germany did, you see. And so it goes on to say that as the foreign minister over the preceding 6 years to restore defeated Germany to the ranks of big powers and to guide the German people toward political and economic stability, his successes had been, prodigious. He had brought Germany into the League of Nations, negotiated the Dawes Plan and the Young Plan, all these plans, and got a reduction in the reparations to a level where the Germans could easily pay. All right, so there you are. But then, 3 weeks after Stresemann's death, on October 24th, the stock market in Wall Street crashed. The results in Germany were soon felt, and disastrously. The cornerstone of German prosperity had been loans abroad, principally from America and world trade. When the flow of loans dried up and repayment on the old ones became due, the German financial structure was unable to stand the strain. When the world trade sagged following the general slump, Germany was unable to export enough to pay for essential imports of raw materials and food, which she needed. Without exports, Germany industry could not keep its plants going, and its production fell by almost a half from 1929 to 1932. Millions were thrown out of work. Thousands of small business enterprises went under. In May of 1931, Austria's biggest bank, the Kreditanstalt, collapsed, and this was followed by July 13th by a failure of one of Germany's principal banks, Darmstadt, Stetter und National Bank. Okay, I'll spell it. Darmstadter, and then it's und National Bank. Anybody want to go and search engine that? Which forced the government in Berlin, and here's where it gets good, the same thing that happened in 1933 to us in America, to close down all banks temporarily. Not even President Hoover's initiative in establishing a moratorium, now remember, on all war debts, including German reparations, which became effective on July 6th, could stem the tide. The whole Western world was stricken by forces which its leaders did not understand and which they felt were beyond man's control. How was it possible that suddenly there could be so much poverty, so much human suffering in the midst of so much plenty? Well, this man Hitler, and you have to all remember this, this man who didn't die until 1987, lived to be 96 years old. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but it is the truth. The fascination with Antarctica, Admiral Byrd, you know, I mean, you think about how premature his deaths were. You know what I'm saying? Because he saw the Germans, and they had him Hitler down there. Hitler had predicted this catastrophe, but no more than any other politician did he understand what had brought it about. Perhaps he had less understanding than most, since he was both ignorant of and uninterested in economics. But he was not uninterested in or ignorant of the opportunities which depression suddenly gave him. The misery of the German people, their lives still scarred by disastrous experience of the collapse of the mark less than 10 years before, did not arouse his compassion. On the contrary, and this is what I want you to understand about these men, and men on both sides, which are all sworn to the darkness, that in those very same darkest days of that period, when the factories were silent, when the registered unemployed numbered over 6 million, and the bread line stretched for blocks in every city in the land, he could write in the Nazi press this unquote, "Never in my life have I been so well disposed and inwardly contented as in these days. For hard reality has opened the eyes of millions of Germans to the unprecedented swindles, lies, and betrayals of the Marxist deceivers of the people." Well, The boss thinks that you could just take that word Marxist and you could just put in our present administration. And you could put in both this Congress, the senators, and the president all together. And you can come up with this very same feeling that this suffering that he was indifferent to was the great opportunity, and that he cold-bloodedly and immediately used it to get political support for his own ambitions. How's that? Yeah. That's exactly what might have happened. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 911. See, you got to look beyond the horror, people. And you got to stop looking at that building. You better start looking at the people that brought that building down. And that is it, folks. That's it. You know, I don't know what else to do except to tell you. And I tell you in my own way, it may sound strange to you, but all you need to do is just dip into the archives, you know, and listen, and then take it in and use the Internet the way it's supposed to be here before it isn't here to convince yourself of what I'm saying, which should be making sense. My goodness, I can go anywhere. I can get the total for how much we owe. Here we go. $9,126,406,832.20 as we speak. This is how much we owe. Can I tell you how it jumped? You want to get an idea over time how it all jumped, how we've all been sold down the river? That is, hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Yeah,
how are
I'm
you
trying
tonight?
To kind of get a fix on where you're really coming from.
You want to get a fix on where I'm really coming from?
Yeah, because I find what you're saying interesting, but I'll tell you what, I happened to tune into Lynn Horowitz about a week ago.
Yeah.
And I've been a big fan of his over the years because I think he's been really good in exposing a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I was really stunned to hear his dialogue because it was so... He actually referred to Barack Obama as like Osama, and then he kept talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, you know, I was just astonished because it seems like he was coming from a very strong Zionist perspective, which really threw me. And he kept talking about the CIA as being kind of the culprit for a lot of the wrongs in society. But, you know, the fact that he kept saying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he was, like, totally anti-Islamic, you know, alarm bells just went off with me, and I was stunned because I had no idea that he was so anti-Islamic, and maybe you need to take a serious look at who you're dealing with.
Oh, well, now, am I going to get an edge? Is the boss going to get a word in edgewise? Because I need a question.
Yes, indeed.
What's your question?
I'm making a statement. I'm just saying, do you realize who you're dealing with? And I'm just saying, do you
understand? The question. See, you want to make a statement, but it's based on something you heard on the... on the radio, so you either want clarification so that you can begin to love Lynn again because you made me mistaken, because sometimes the only exercise we get is jumping to conclusions.
Okay.
So we all, now this is what I'd like you to do. What's your name?
My name is Maria.
Maria. Ah, like in West Side Story. Maria. What I'd like to do is have you take a deep breath with me. Okay? Now, for someone to mention Abraham, Jacob, and who's the other one?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Now, when you mention Abraham, the definition of Abraham is what? The father of many. Is it not true that Abraham existed prior to the Hebrew or the Jew?
But wait a minute. Now, let me say something.
What I'm just saying is, can we get into the evolution of what he might have been saying historically rather than where he might be going politically? Because I doubt this very seriously, and I've been working with Dr. Lynn over 4 years.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's specifically Jewish. Ishmael was Arab.
You got to get to this. You got to get to this, and this is something you really got to study now. Abraham
precedes and I am stunned at the way he presented that. And to say Obama's Osama and to make fun of it, That was despicable.
You talking about the man that's running? Are you talking about the man that's running for president of the United States?
Yes.
Now, here's the beauty of life itself. That's why I believe the mission is possible, because you're on Mission Possible, you talk to the boss. Irregardless to what Dr. Lynn may have said, where do you stand?
Where do I stand?
Yes.
I was surprised that he just was such a Zionist freak about it. I'm just stunned. And I just
You keep on calling him a Zionist freak, but yet I remember the show. I was listening. I'm trying to see what it is that you heard that offended you so.
What I'm saying is I thought Lynn Horowitz always was a very dispassionate, brilliant, interesting revealer of truths. And for him to be so politically nasty and biased was absolutely stunning to me. And whether you realize it or not, when people start saying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're talking purely about Judaism. It was totally superfluous for him to mispronounce Obama's name. And I'm not even Obama supporter. I'm for Ron Paul. You know, he kept talking about the CIA, but he was using that as kind of a false flag to take the brunt of the blame away from where it really should be. The CIA is just a puppet just like everybody else. Who really controls the strings? And it's the Zionist power structure, and that's what he needs to confront. And he was trying to pull the wool over his listeners' eyes.
Over their ears, if we're going to stay with the metaphor.
The wool over their eyes, the cotton in their ears, whatever. But I'm just telling you, I was stunned because I didn't know he was so politically biased. I was stunned.
What is your political inclination?
Well, anyway, I said what I wanted to say, but I think
you get to talk, and you get to tell everybody that he's a Zionist and he's a Zionist. Everybody listen to the Inside Hour last week's show. Go into the archives and listen to it. You go into the archives and listen to it again with your life. And see if you come away with that discussion, the same thought. I know what you heard because it's in the archives. That's the nice thing about BBSRadio.com. They don't lose data. Now, see, there's a hostile caller calling me, the boss, and going to tell me about Dr. Lynn. Well, I know about Dr. Lynn, and I know what Dr. Lynn said. And, of course, he's going to say something about Obama, Obama Nation. When you really think about Chicago, when you really think about affirmative action, when you really think about voting records, when you really think about what's really going on, you ask yourself, how dare that man run? You see, everybody has to understand something. The boss, really. See, she didn't want to stay on the line to really understand where I'm coming from. I'm not anti-anything. I'm history, you see. And all I'm going to say is that Abraham was walking around long before, and he was the first Muslim. That's right. He was the first Muslim. And he was into unity, and so am I. So part of it is that you can have an opinion about that to them, but gee whiz, get to the love. And when you talk to the boss, at least say, thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion. That's the way you do it. You see, I don't know. Some people get stirred up. It's kind of like what Dorothy said. Boy, they come and they go. But anyhow, anybody else out there want to talk about what happened on the Inside Hour, you're free to do it. And for those of you who may be trying to figure out whether or not Dr. Lynn is a Zionist or anti-Zionist or anti-Muslim or this or that, I can only tell you that he's a researcher extraordinaire that in lies we trust, irregardless of whether you're a Democrat or Republican, holds water scientifically, and the research is impeccable. And that's what I'd like to discuss, exactly what's happening. Now, as far as the plan for all of us, know this. I don't hear anybody talking about how they're going to bail us out. I don't hear anybody talking about what's happening with the dollar. So she mentioned Ron Paul, and I will say, yeah, it's good. I don't know how anything good can come out of Texas after so many years, and I'm still reeling from Dallas, you see what I'm saying? So, and I can't really be dealing with people who don't have no upper lip, so until I hear some things. But, yeah, he's shaking the tree just like Perot did. Yeah, he's shaking the tree. But he said on 11-8-07, he said it to Brenke, you know, the helicopter guy that says we'll just make more money. He said this: how can you pursue this policy that you have without further weakening the dollar? There's a dollar crisis out there, and people's money is being stolen. People who have saved, they're being robbed. Okay? Now, George Washington said, no generation has a right to contract debts greater than can be paid off during the course of its own existence. Shouldn't it be that way? But that's not the way it is. We have a president who says the next president is going to, I won't be able to see how all this turns out, but the next president, they'll be the ones that will benefit from this. You see, America, in order to wage this and support your troops and all of this, the boss has to tell you, you're paying. Your children are going to pay. And that we are coming up on an economic Armageddon. While you're all talking about whether or not anybody's worthy enough to run or whether or not someone's designing, you better look in your bank account. You better understand something, America. We're going down. The ship is sinking. We got about a 10% chance of avoiding this here iceberg. That's exactly what's getting ready to happen. And then the rest is a moot point. OPEC, all of it. Sure, you find what I'm saying interesting, because what I'm saying is the truth. What I have been saying for over 30 years has been the truth. My father said it. We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. And let me tell my caller out there who's so really hot on whatever she wants to do with Ron Paul, or whether she gets offended as to whether or not Dr. Lynn wants to make some fun on a man's name. We have tread through the blood of the slaughtered, and we stand alive and well, America. Full-minded, not controlled, not contrived. And that is why I'm on BBSRadio.com. That's why you are either turning me off or tuning in. I either feel good, you either squeeze or freeze. But the reality of it is, we move and groove in that thing called money. Most of you do. I let go. I'm not attached. And when I can't pay for this radio show no more, when I can't get a sponsor, when people don't want to listen and I don't get nobody calling, even one call lets me know 2,000 people out there listening to me. And they're hearing something. And they're hearing me. And this is only halfway through the show, and I must now do some housekeeping. And let me tell that caller, I wish you would call back. I wish you would call back so that we could talk about what it is that you like about Ron Paul, because I'm into the unity campaign, dear. I want Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul, both of these men, to shake the tree, because I want to see who's going to fall out. As far as the CIA, it's 60 years, girl. And yes, there isn't anything. I can't tell you how happy I am for you to say what you say. You better not minimize that agency. You better not underestimate it. Kennedy did. His brother did. How it's connected and how now, underneath all of it, now they're all connected. The DIA, the CIA, the FBI, the Defense Departments, the Justice Departments, they're all hooked up together. You know, I was having Thanksgiving dinner with some people from Santa Barbara that just jumped ship and came over here. And I mentioned something because they were talking about how wonderful it is that everybody's waking up and that more and more people are starting to discover what's really going on and that they're starting to activate and they're starting to get together and try to come up with strategies to do and to select different candidates and to become involved. And I said, yeah, that's cool. I said, except for stupid, and everybody who listens to my show knows that stupid is Satan. We know that many have come with a good word your way, America, and many of you killed in a variety of ways, and others you have mocked and locked away, America. Well, these realities are here. There is a depression coming. How you behave, it depends on what you've done. the connections that are in. That's it. That's the love. You see, that's why I get out of the money. I get out of the war. I get out of the 911. I get out of it all, and that's what Dr. Lennon and I are all about, is love. How he arrives at his truth, where he finds his inspiration, where I find my inspiration. I find it in all the books. But I particularly like these that laid down, these three men that she spoke of. This is not just Judaism. You see, you've been mind-washed and brainwashed. Look at it from the times that these men lived and the lessons that they were trying to teach. What was the lesson of Abraham? It's not only important to pray for your people, but for your enemy, too. And if your family is going against God, is going against the principles that you know to be true, then you must walk away from that family. You see, Abraham, you have to know, Abraham, when he left, he was coming back from the slaughter of the kings. And as he came back, he was met by Melchizedek. Black is the ace of spades, they say. Who was he, the king of peace? What are we talking about here if we're not talking about history? Whether it be biblical history or whether it be the history that we ourselves are living right now. For we are all history. We are all the events that shape this now. And this now is looking very dark. And that's when the light gets very bright and becomes very certain. So, for all that is said, for all that is talked, the only thing that matters is the action. And the actions of Dr. Len and I have been like Paul Revere. Don't get caught up in our philosophical religious ideology. Look at the sound science and the things that we are trying to get you to talk about that will help you when the time comes for you to make these decisions or to help the politicians to make these decisions, which is that you are sovereign spirits and that in this vein, our Constitution was written. And that is not how our politicians are behaving today. And this is why I became a reverend. My in-law, on my sister's family's side, her family that she started, are the Farrakhan. Can't nobody tell me about Islam. Can't nobody tell me about Christianity. Can't nobody tell me about nothing when it comes to religion. For I explored them all so that I could understand that all of them are trying to express your relationship to God. And when you find one that hasn't got that expression, then it's not religion. It has to be ideology. It has to be dogma. It must be something other than. And that is what we're talking about. So, you know, millions of people unemployed that wanted jobs, shopkeepers, wanted help. All of these people looking for a way out. All of these people discontented. All of them created an opportunity for Hitler to have a whirlwind election. Hear me, America. If you don't do your homework, if you don't look at their records, if you don't explore the times in which they sat, if you're looking at just what the media is telling you, it's too early. It's too early. For the very best of who we are have not risen to the occasion. And the very best are going to be the survivors in 2008. I doubt that Obama will be running in 2008. I doubt that Hillary will be running in 2008. I doubt that we'll be listening to any of these people in 2008, for they won't have the words to console us. And that's what was predicted in the Bible when I switch over to Reverend Roxy. Reverend Roxy knows there's a comforter coming, and it ain't me, you see. It isn't me. But I am a prophet, and I am a prophet for this here 21st century. I'm not a dictator. You don't hear me asking you for anything. You don't hear me wanting to sell you anything. I pay, my sponsor pays, because my sponsor likes my message. And the message is the truth, that we have been asleep, and now we're waking up, And there's a lot of chief deceivers out here. And there are a lot of people out here who want to tell you what to do, but won't tell you what's going on. Well, save your money if you want to, folks, but it's not going to be worth a plug nickel. This is the reality of history. And if you can't get to it, America, then you're going down the tubes. And that's like Titanic head towards that iceberg, full speed ahead, that's it. Party over, whoops, out of time. I guess Prince was just right, right? 2001. I want to talk about the Trade Center, but I want to talk about my president's behavior. You see, historically, we agree. There's no one that's arguing that there was a Prescott Bush. No one's arguing there was a Harriman, Averill. No one's going to argue with me that these men were sons of bankers, of men who were of great wealth. And it goes all the way back to 1832, clipper ships, opium dealing, China wars, all of that. A person has to do their homework. What makes you think these people aren't carrying on? What makes you think that these people are not celebrating these anniversaries? What makes you think that these people are not carrying on, America? People. You won't hear Obama. You won't hear Ron Paul. You won't hear them talk about mind control. You won't hear them tell you go on the net and go type in two simple letters, BZ, and if you want to, put chemical next to it, and read what they've been stockpiling. They won't tell you about their experiments. They won't. It's kind of like with Clinton. Don't ask, I won't tell you. Freedom of Information Act. All of this is at your fingertips. They're not going to tell you anything. You're going to have to tell them and have them explain it. Yes, sir. This is what's important. And I ask good questions, and you better start asking good questions, too, because there are people out here who are being fined for not inoculating their children with those nasty vaccinations and poisons, the smallpox, and the World Health Organization is sitting on a big oops, that they're the ones that are responsible for the AIDS, and that when they found out, they had to start releasing all other kinds of things into the air so that we'll all just get sick. I have friends who are telling me what's the big thing about chemtrails. They make nice sunsets. You see. I'll give you a little example. I'll also investigate Buddhism. And there is one Buddhism that I investigated that led me to a lesson. And the Buddha taught thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of lessons. This shows you how many questions his devoted followers must have had. I mean, lots and lots of questions. You see. I like statements. It's nice. The questions are nice, too. And one day, the Buddha spoke, and he started speaking. Rose out of meditation. Guess it was sitting underneath that tree. And he rose out of meditation, and he started talking. And that's kind of startling, because nobody heard the question. So everybody's busy asking, what's the question? What's the question? But there was no question. This was a piece of information that the Buddha wanted to give you. And the information is found in the Lotus Sutta. And in that sutta, the Buddha tried to impress upon us how long our lives are. To give you an example of that from a scientific point of view, they use words like nayuta asogi, which is 10 to the 57th power, 10 to the 11th power. That means take 10 and put 57 zeros, and then take another 10 and put 11 zeros, and then I add those together. And that's how long. And that's not even how long, because in this story, the Buddha then says, how long this life is, this existence has been. And then you take that, 10 to the 57, and that 10 to the 11, and you transverse, and you grind that all up, you see. And you take each one of those particles, and you go 10 to the 57, and 10 to the 11th, nayuta asogi. And you drop one particle until you have exhausted the entire universe, particle by particle, in this time period. This is how long we have been enlightened. This is how long we have existed. Isn't that joyous? Isn't that joyous? Challenge that. prove me wrong. The Buddha taught this way. And he also, within the same Lotus Sutra, told the story, the parable of the excellent physician. And I'm going to paraphrase this parable so that you get the gist of this message that I'm giving tonight on Mission Possible. As I am aroused and aware, the parable of the excellent physician is one that goes like this. There was an excellent physician, and he had traveled to another world and was there helping out this other world. And he got word back on from where he came from that his children had gotten their hands on some kind of poison. And this poison had caused them to lose their true mind. And upon hearing this, this man, this excellent physician, could no longer stay where he was, where he knew his children needed him. And so the people there helped him on his way. And so he got back to the gates of his city. And there he was met by some of his family. And they greeted him, for they recognized their father. And as he looked at them, he could also see all in the back, varying degrees of scenes of people in mad torture and kind of like a Dali painting, for those of you out there that may know Salvador Dali, you know, the one where he's like, you know, in the divinity where he's, you know, he's portraying hell, that kind of vision. You can hold that in your mind. People in all varying degrees of torture and torturing each other. And they said, Father, Father, we are so glad that you are here. He says, some of us have gotten our hands on some kind of poison and they've drank it and it's gone, made them crazy. And as he saw, he could see that his children, and he could recognize some of them even through their torturous pain. And he said, and they couldn't recognize him because they couldn't see through the poison, and it just seeped so deep into their minds. And so he made his way to the house, and he saw more effects of the poison. And as he got to his house, he was welcomed by some more of his family members who hadn't taken the poison. And he said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Well," he says, "I'm going to make up a medicine for you." So he went and he got some roots and herbs and things that were fine in color and fragrance, and he grind them all together and he add them and he made a potion. And he gathered his whole kingdom up together, gathered up everybody, the crazies, the good ones, the bad ones, everybody. People hadn't taken the poison, people had taken the poison, everybody was gathered together. And then he said, "Look, children, I got here a cure. I got here a medicine for you. Take this and it will cure you instantly of your situation here." And so, in ceremony, everybody that believed, even those who hadn't taken the poison took the medicine, except for some really diehards. They were like, "Oh, no, I ain't taking this medicine. This medicine's going to taste bad. I can't take this medicine." And so they didn't. But everybody who took the medicine was cured instantly, and they could see the effects had no more hold over them, and they could recognize their father, and they fell down in admiration and appreciation for being loosed from their prison in their mind and the effects of the poison. But there, as every great father concerned, every doctor concerned, he was concerned about those who wouldn't take the medicine. And so he grieved for these the most. And so he said, "What can I do?" And all of a sudden he had a spark of inspiration. He said, "I know. I'll leave. I'm going to go. I'm going to go away." And with that, he called another big meeting, I guess you could say, and he said, "Children, I have to go. I've been called away." And I mean, at the thought of him leaving, everybody was just absolutely, "Oh my gosh, our father is leaving." And, you know, because now it's like a lot of people, they all recognize him. He's like, "Yeah," but the other ones, he says, "Yeah," he says, "I got to go." And in doing so, those people were really hurting for certain and realized that some of those took the medicine and they were cured instantly, just as the saying of the father going to leave. But there were still those diehards. They couldn't even think about drinking that medicine. And so then the father said, "Okay, well, I'm leaving." And so he went away. And he went away, and he hung out. And then he sent back a messenger. And the messenger sent back word that your father had died. Well, when they heard that their father had died, I mean, instantly, everybody was thrown into a big tizzy of grief. And knowing how wonderful the father was and how he'll never be back again because he's dead. Oh, my goodness. And there, in all their grief, everybody saw that the physician, the father, had left the medicine. And it was the only thing they had. And in their despair and grief, they all took the medicine. Everybody took the medicine in ceremony. Everybody did. Just out of all of that grief, everybody took the medicine. Mm-hmm. And they were all cured. And they all got it together. And they were a legend. And the father was a legend. And they started, they kept the medicine. And they never touched the poison again. And they all remembered. And they all celebrated, and they appreciated, and they appreciated the father, and they kept the father's memory in their mind, and everybody lived well. Well, when the father heard this, the father was so overjoyed with this news the messenger brought that everything was just fine, everybody was functioning fine. The father said, well, now I can appear. Oh, I can appear. I can go home. And that is where we're at, folks. We got to take the medicine. We got to take the medicine so that the power, the creator, the big kahuna. I'm the unofficial boss, Lord. I ain't God. But I want my best friend to show up real soon. So let's all take the medicine, which is the truth. And it is pleasant, folks, to take the medicine. And it's so pleasant to wake up. But what I want you to do, too, is I want you to look at this, because our government, our evil government, and oh, yes, it is evil. Bless the mirage that you are free, but understand we are living in a fascist state. We were anti-communist, and we were pro-fascist. And we are now living in those times that Germany was living in, and that we can learn a lot from the rise and the fall of the Third Reich. Read it. Type it into the search engine. And for those of you who might say, well, isn't the Buddha guilty of lying? I can only remind you of what Ignatius Loyola and the Jesuits' credo is. The end justifies the means. If this is a way to achieve world peace through deception or a hoax, then let it be so that we can get to the peace. For the very same way we come to the war was through a hoax, and so therefore we must undo. So hoax, look that definition up. A hoax can be a good thing, folks. If you got one out there that'll move the people towards peace, do it. Do it and do it quickly. But genuinely, peace is peace and war is war. And I don't think that we can afford this one. And I'll tell you something, folks, as I come down to the last 2 minutes of my dialogue monotob here, is this is, I got no axe to grind with you, America. I don't know how you're going to behave when you wake up and you can't get to your money, when you find out that you're penniless, that you don't have anything, that you don't have a job. I hope that you have found solace in your faith and in that which holds you up, because that's all you're going to have. I can only tell you that we have a world who's on Prozac and Paxil and all kinds of alcohol and drugs and nicotine and all kinds of things, so the mind has been controlled. And when stress and crisis hits people, let me tell you how desperate human beings can be and how they take it out. For some it's suicide, for others it's homicide. For others, it's fratricide. For others, it's matricide. All I can say is that I hope that all of you out there in the mainstream that are listening to BBS and are incredulously thinking, wow, these people are out of their mind. Tell them, yes, I'm out of my mind, for I have a Godhead, and I am filled with joy that the Creator has directed me to a place of sanctuary, which is a place of peace. And that is what Jesus said, Yeshua, as Dr. Len likes to call him, Isa, as Muslims like to call him, a man, a great man, who had a way with words, parables and stories, just like the Buddha. Yeah. Come on, folks, believe in something. That's it. Liberty is not a right to do what one wants. but a right to do what one must. Pastor Henry said that. And truth is a dangerous explosive. Ha ha, dangerous George Williams said that. And we, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. So with that, I'm going to tell you, I wish you all the best of luck out there as you get through your week. I pretty much am over this. I'm going to run through December. I don't know where everybody will be, but I'm just going to make a prediction that a lot of you are going to be at your wit's end. And others of you are going to be happy that you put your faith in God. And that great is this day for all who have kept faith, and dreadful for others, for that is their day. Someone said long ago we would have to decide exactly when we would take this ride. Someone said surely down on earth it would be a mystery. So we filled the earth with clues, because we knew even then who would win or who would lose. So all I can say is to all of you, I hope that you will tune in to the Inside Hour on Tuesdays, and that the lady who called me tonight, I think it would be best that you direct your attention to Dr. Len, because I know who I'm running with. I'm running with Don Newsom, BBSRadio.com, Leonard Horowitz, the man who is trying to tell you about vaccination. It's time to tell you about inoculation. It's time to tell you that they have been lying to us, that all of us have been inoculated with cancers, that the whole world is suffering, and that there are answers and solutions, that there is a healing celebration to happen, and this has to come with revelation. And this is what Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and every other great leader, Muhammad, Jesus, every last great leader, you think of them all, Gandhi, you think of them all. They don't trash talk each other. They may trash talk men who are not of God, but are of politics. That's the man. But the man of God can sit next to me any day. The man of God can pray with me any day. Remember that, folks. Remember that. And all one of you who are listening out there, bless you. And I will be back next week. We're going to work out December, and then we're going to close out Mission Possible. And I'm going to come back with something even bigger and better and scarier so that I can get you to do the right thing, which is to get up off the dime and make those phone calls, write those letters. Get your money out of the banks. Get your money into something that's going to save your life. You better know about water filtration. You better get yourself a nice little pup tent. You better become self-sufficient and not to depend on this here structure, because it is programmed to collapse, just like those trade centers. And I am telling you the truth, and the truth is a dangerous explosive. How's that, America? This is Mission Possible. This is BBSRadio.com. I'm the boss, RJ Hampton. This was Mission Possible, and I had fun bringing you this message. Have a great evening. Don, I want to talk to you as soon as this is over.